Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 117.
Welcome, everyone, to Sci-Fi for Me Radio. This is Level 117. My name is Jason Hunt.
What? What do you want? Why are you pointing?
I'm doing it differently.
You're doing it differently? You have to tell us what you're doing before you do it.
No, you're supposed to just improvise. There's a plan. Just roll with
it. This is improvising.
There is no plan.
Running with this.
What, there is no plan?
It's so good to hear you finally admit that. Admitting it is the first step, sir. I'm so proud of you.
My name is Jason Hunt.
My name is Maya Aide.
See, she got it.
Well, only because I set it up for her.
Well, and that's what you do. Thank you for the assist.
And I'm Dan Handley.
And?
I'm the mystery voice you've never heard before. I am Timothy Harvey.
And we are discussing the most recent episode of Agent Carter, Marvel's Agent Carter.
As opposed to
Agent Carter. Well, it has to have that Marvel's.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Marvel's at the beginning.
Because we would not know otherwise, apparently.
Branding. Right.
Yeah, it is. It is. Branding. Well, and I think, too, the part of that is I'd read over the weekend that the reason that Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is called Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is because Fox owns S.H.I.E.L.D. from their FX show called The S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Because originally the show was going to be called S.H.I.E.L.D.
And they can't do that.
And they can't do that.
Okay. Now we know.
Now, when Fox comes to Marvel hat in hand, after they see how well Sony does for this new Spider-Man deal, then maybe we can have a show called S.H.I.E.L.D. But maybe not.
But you know what? We've kind of gotten used to Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But it really, it takes a lot of characters to write.
Mm. Not as much as the Firestorm acronym. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's...
Let's see. How many letters can we put in an acronym?
Let's try
Firestorm. One of these days, somebody's going to figure out how to make supercalifragilisticexpialidocious as an acronym.
Challenge accepted.
He would take over the world at that point.
I'm not looking forward to that because
it is a challenge.
Know, writing the recaps for Flash,
right,
and then also doing the little setups for this. Mm-hmm. I have to do the Firestorm acronym. I have to type it out. And I know, cut and paste, you're looking at me crazy. But, you know, the initial...
Minimum.
He always looks like that.
Effort.
I don't think he's really looking at you any differently.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
I always look at Jason like he's crazy.
That's what I said.
That is the actual default.
You're looking at him like he's crazy, and I was saying that's kind of how you always look at him.
That's the way it is. Yes.
Well, you're all crazy.
Are you just figuring this out?
No. It's just an observation.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Okay, so Marvel's Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Last week actually had a decent, pretty well put together episode.
Yeah.
We had the Howling Commandos. Mm-hmm. Except for this Russian psychiatrist, Dr. Ivchenko, who just... happens to volunteer to come back.
Tags along.
I would love to come to America.
I come help you.
And so, of course, they naturally just bring him back into the SSR headquarters.
Of course.
Just because.
Into the chief's office.
All right, so that's where we pick up. Dooley is interrogating Dr. Ivchenko.
Maybe. Or maybe it's the other way around.
Could be. Agent Carter is very, very fixated and focused on the training of the girl assassins.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where Dooley kicks her out. He takes her out of the office, and she's just convinced that this is something worth pursuing. And
of course it is.
Oddly enough, he says, okay, go chase it. Like she's an agent or something.
Wow.
What? You know, and she's pretty flummoxed about it, too. She's like, what?
Well, it's two episodes in a row. He's like, actually,
like,
you know.
Treated me like a human.
Like it's a cup of coffee.
Yeah. It's like, wait, her first name is Agent 2. Oh, okay. Now we know what this show is about. So she goes to track down the girl assassin using a list of Howard Stark's past flames,
mm-hmm.
whom he's bought off with a bubble.
Mm-hmm. A rather long list.
Yes, it is. And there was a nice little bit about Ginger Rogers.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, no, Ginger Rogers, not an agent. Are you sure?
Really? Are you sure you want to take that one off the list?
Those eyes. So anyway, we've got that going on. Agent Carter has figured out that whoever it is probably has scars on her wrist from the handcuffs. And this is something that I thought, because earlier on in the season, a lot of people had said that girl, there's a photograph of Howard Stark with a blonde in the boat. And some people had said, doesn't that look like Angie, the waitress, with a wig? You know, some people were saying that. And now I think that was Dottie.
Probably.
Oh, I think it was Dottie.
Probably.
So Carter is going to all of the different ex-girlfriends and figuring out that there's not any scar tissue on any of their wrists. And
but that they
in,
all
in the meantime,
have...
Jarvis is getting his...
Emotionally, they're all scarred.
Yes.
Yes.
They're all taking out...
that Howard Stark so-and-so. That's him. So-and-so.
In every way except the wrists.
And the slap.
Yeah.
Right.
And Jarvis is getting his fill of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they do track down Dottie's past alias. And that's what it's got to be, because you can't have two of them. There's got to be just the one assassin, because if you do two, that's overkill. And it complicates the story.
Except there must have been more than just one that came out of that training center.
Oh, yeah, undoubtedly. But they're tracking down just one.
One, yeah.
You know, Dottie was the one who was apparently Ida May, in the apartment that were abandoned. She paid cash. So we know that it's probably the same girl.
That and the fact that there were marks on the head on the bedpost.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
the handcuffs.
So the handcuffs are evident. And in the meantime, Dr. Ivchenko is in Dooley's office. Chumming and
speaking very calmly and discussing his family and his relationship with his wife.
Yes.
But not like, his mother.
Like not psychiatrist mother. Too. And Dooley is falling under the spell, I guess. In the meantime, Dottie has made her way across the street to the office of a dentist.
Dentist who has
issues.
Well, had
issues. And she's the assumption that she's got a gun. She puts the gun together. You figure she's either going to take out Dooley or she's going to take out Ivchenko.
That's what I thought.
And surprise!
Neither.
She uses the gun sight to transmit Morse code mm-hmm. to Dr. Ivchenko.
Because everybody knows you use a sniper scope as an Aldous lamp.
That's right. Why not?
Because that's how you conceal that you're using Morse code. Put it on a rifle.
Yes, exactly. And Ivchenko uses Morse code back. Need more time to get the item. Go kill Peggy Carter. Okay, you know, all in a day's work, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the item is that Ivchenko is after, but we do know that it's in the lab. It's one of Howard Stark's things.
Well, it could be all of Howard Stark's things.
Right, but he said item.
Yeah, they've been talking about...
It's a singular
about,
thing.
It could also be an assumption that it's in the lab. It could be the Steve Rogers blood.
It could be.
Yeah, because that would lead to the Winter Soldier project.
Potentially.
Yeah. I bet that's how they try to tie that in.
Well, no, because Zola... Zola began the Winter Soldier project with Bucky.
Right.
And that was during the war, still. Actually, that's a contradictory piece of information in terms of what we saw in Captain America and Captain America 2.
Well, no, because we don't know what Zola did to him in Captain America the First Avenger. We know that something was done.
No, we know that Zola was Tommy Lee Jones captured Zola before he could do anything with Bucky, and yet in Winter Soldier, he clearly is doing something with Bucky before he... Yeah, there's a
No, because hold on, because Bucky was in that lab when Steve found him, and Zola hadn't been captured at that point.
Zola was captured in the first one.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And Bucky was rescued in the first one. Remember where Bucky was when he was rescued, where Steve saw the maps. Mm. He was in that lab because Zola ran out carrying all that stuff. And he ran down the hallway, and Steve came in after and found Bucky in that lab. No,
the scene in the second in Captain America: The Winter Soldier references a period where after it is post Bucky's quote unquote death
off the train.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not the scene where Steve gets him in the first film. It's post his death. It's an editing error. They made an oops. It's okay.
Fine.
They're allowed. They can make a mistake.
It was still a good story.
It's still a good story. I'm just saying.
All right, fine. You just say.
I did. There's a crack in Marvel's armor.
Oh no! Don't tell Sony.
Everyone attack the spy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I don't think Sony
didn't care.
Sony's
at
that point. Sony's not prepared.
Find the Hulk.
Hulkbuster.
So the item that Ivchenko is after.
I think it's got to be the blood.
It got to be. Maybe.
Maybe.
Because we don't know.
Or something that goes boom.
Or it's the picture. There's that one picture. What is it that Dottie took? You remember she took the photograph out of Peggy's office, Peggy's room. It was a photograph of a crate.
Right.
Don't know what's in that crate.
No.
So maybe that's the item.
It's the Ark of the Covenant.
It's the Ark of the Covenant. That's what it is.
Can't be. It's being looked at by top men.
And it belongs in a museum.
Stark would be a top man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But is he one of the top
men?
Right?
I don't know. But if Harrison Ford makes a cameo.
There's got to be some place in Wold Newton.
Chris Pratt shows up as young Indiana Jones. And then the internet explodes.
Like it does.
Started on that.
Which I have to say, for something that explodes as often as the internet does,
it's awfully resilient.
Yeah, I don't see that kind of bounce back from explosions too much these days.
Not normally.
That is some pretty good design there.
And for any of you who are listening who have been living under a rock for the last two or three days. The most recent explosion that we're talking about, of course, is the news that Marvel and Sony have made a deal for The Amazing Spider-Man to now be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And everybody is like, what? The lawyer said yes. We get to have our candy.
There is a small portion of hell which is a great place for skiing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah. Keep in mind, Sony still has their control and they get to do the Spider-Man series. But
I think Tim and I are going to talk about this on this week's H2O as well. What exactly the implications are of that deal, and we can get into it a little bit later on in this show about the impact that it's going to have on the cinematic universe at large. But this idea that everybody is coming to Marvel and saying, do it for us. please, sir, we want more. You know, and I think that's going to carry over. But Agent Carter,
the magic lamp.
Exactly.
That's not what they're offering to
the magic
over
magic
there.
Lamp. The magic lamp has Kevin Feige's name all over it.
I don't want to know.
It's kind of a they're buying dinner and drinks and they're hoping for little bit later.
Lots of drinks.
Yeah.
But
they're going to have a Russian psychologist perform hypnosis.
But we can speculate all we want about Spider-Man's involvement in all this. We do know that it's not going to happen during Agent Carter.
No, probably not.
Which would be
weird.
Not impossible, but extremely unexpected.
True.
Who are you? I'm Andrew Garfield. Wait a minute.
You keep saying Andrew Garfield. I think you mean Peter Parker.
Peter Porker? The Amazing Spider-Ham?
Spider-Pig?
Spider-Pig. As we were. That was all the setup for Spider-Pig, and that's...
I thought it was Harry Plopper.
So the rest of Agent Carter,
Wait, has, are we talking about Agent Carter?
Yeah, we're talking about Agent Carter.
Are we sure?
Yes,
sometimes.
We have to.
Okay.
We do that here. So the rest of the episode is Sousa figuring out that Carter knows more than she's telling. That somehow, given how Dooley has now gotten open to the fact that Howard Stark might not be guilty, it surprises me that they make the leap that Peggy Carter is a traitor, and she must be arrested and brought in on charges of treason and all of that. It's really just based
on the fact that they had some proof that she was in that.
Well, they've got the photograph. They've got the photograph. They've got the dead nightclub owner.
Well, and they also have the guy in prison who said that,
who identifies her as the one who beat him up and then took the the world explody things,
which exploded,
the world is still
away from anybody else.
But it's circumstantial to the point you don't. There's nothing there, Jason, that would indicate.
There's
that
only
Carter's
two episodes left.
I know.
That's the answer. Good. There's only two episodes left.
And I think you're right. If we had skipped three episodes, and gone from one to five, and kept going, half of this would not be a problem at all.
Well, and I think it might not have bothered me so much that we had so much comedy in tonight's episode. And I think it was really...
You feel there was a lot of comedy in this?
The entire hunt for the woman, the girl. It's just... I don't know. It's just the problem with the show, and I don't know. We may have to see what happens when it's all done. We may want to binge watch it.
And can see we skip a couple maybe. Episodes?
Yeah, well, we might want to skip a couple episodes, but there's been a really kind of odd balance with the humor in this show for me.
It's not the same kind of balance as they have in S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, it certainly isn't.
And it's not the same kind of humor either.
No, this is very much, and you know what it is. It's old,
somewhat forced
movie humor.
Yeah, it is more. It's
kind of forced.
Yeah, it's
in many ways.
It's very stagey for a lot of the humor, and I don't mind some of it, but it's just like that whole. It's like, and now it's time for the silly ex-girlfriend segment. It's like da 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 da. Slap, da 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 da, kick, da 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 da, you know, and it's just, you know, you have a character like Jarvis who is, and that whole sequence he's played is the butt of the joke. I mean, he's purely there for
comic relief,
right. And it seemed really awkward to me tonight, and maybe it's just because we have had, excuse me. An episode where the characters all seem to be doing, you know, sensible things.
That's about all he did tonight, Jarvis.
That was basically Jarvis's whole bit. He contributed somewhat to the fight.
Yes, the fight in the automat.
Which honestly, pretty good.
Yeah,
that was a really good fight.
Choreography on that one.
Peggy Carter's gonna beat you up. don't mess with the Peggy Carter lady.
I thought it was interesting when she turned around. She recognized what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get the civilians out. She recognized the guys from DC, which implies that there's more than one office for SSR.
Sure.
Nice to know that.
Yeah.
Unless they're FBI or something. And, you know, recognizes the procedure. And then she says, okay, this is what we're going to do. You do this and I do this and we'll take care of this. And, you know, and she's got a plan all just made up on the spot.
And when she slides
that chair across to Jarvis to brace the revolving door, it's just like, that's kind of something Bond would do. You know, it's a Bond move. Just go over there, and you notice that she was in pants.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pretty much the entire episode this time.
Yeah.
Most of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Visually symbolic, that now she's one of the guys. And she's allowed to be agent, have a first name agent, because up until last week, she was in skirts all the time.
It's a subtle thing,
but I think the costuming is deliberate, that she's in pants before she's a fugitive. Now, this is the entire episode. She's agent now, as opposed to.
She was in a skirt when she was in the office, and she was in Dooley's office.
Right.
She was in a skirt then, and I think
that's
the only time that we see her in a skirt. Yeah.
Well, she had to be able to kick guys in the restaurant without any embarrassment.
Yep.
Well, she also he also said go ahead and follow your leads, and so she.
Yep.
You may be right. This may actually be a costuming choice, but it could also be a logistics choice and going, well, she would go home and she's got brought up some to work, but she would have changed into something that was more practical for going out and being an investigating agent versus.
Right. But just from an inside baseball standpoint, the costuming on her changing that much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I mean, Dan also raises a good point. You couldn't do that at that fight scene with her in a skirt. You could. It'd be a different fight scene.
Yeah, on a different network.
On a different network.
Yeah.
At a different hour.
Yep.
And it would not be your normal regular network.
The ratings could be a little higher.
It would be. It would probably be on HBO though.
Maybe.
Yeah,
possibly. Somewhere like Netflix.
Netflix. So well, but this is a different kind of show. I mean, I think one of the things that's very interesting about the show is that there is a lot of it that really is there trying, and I think some of it the classic film humor, which doesn't necessarily quite work for me.
Bringing a baby type stuff.
Well, I think
the hijinks. What all?
Yeah, it's very much a hijinks kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
It does. There's something about this show that they really have kind of embraced that 1940s entertainment aesthetic as well, for good and for ill. There's a whole lot of Sousa and Jack behavior tonight when it comes to crying women. Which is straight out of a 1940s, early 50s.
Please stop doing that.
Yeah. don't do that.
Please.
And some of the worst acting. It's a good actress pretending to be a bad actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is always really painful to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be. I mean, mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yes, you should now go to Broadway. Yes, please go away from here and go to Broadway. But yeah, no, it's. I think that's part of it. I think that's really hard to do. I think it's really hard to pull off. There's a reason people don't make 1940s films very often. It's because there's a tone and there's a rhythm that kind of was of the time,
right?
And I think that this show, when it's really, really there, hits a lot of it really close. I mean, it's. I think the people who are behind this clearly have a love of the time period and the genres and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that the comedy always works with it.
Not always.
No, because it's a little wacky.
It could also be writers who are not normally in that genre trying to copy the genre.
Well, yeah,
that's why it's a little shaky.
And it's why I think maybe binge watching at least a few episodes back to back might give a sense. It might be more even,
possibly,
as opposed to feeling like it's like And now it's time for the silly part of the show.
Well, in this particular episode was written by Lindsay Allen, who has done a lot of genre stuff: Resurrection, No Ordinary Family, Flash Forward, Eli Stone, as a production staff, but as a writer, Agent Carter, Arrow, Singularity, Eli Stone. So, not a whole lot of writing credits, but has a number of production credits.
Sure.
She was an assistant to Green Lantern, assistant Green Lantern, assistant to Mark Guggenheim.
No, hang on. I like the first one.
Yeah.
Please, on your resume, what are you? I was assistant Green Lantern.
On the Green Lantern movie, she was assistant to Mark Guggenheim. Almost did it again.
I did.
It's the cold medicine. So not a whole lot of writing credits on this one. So maybe that's a piece of it.
Well, but I mean, I think some of the problem with, we've seen this before though with previous episodes, is that sometimes the humor is just a little. I don't know.
Flat.
You know, I think maybe some people are really, really enjoying it. Maybe some people are really finding that fun. Maybe it's because I'm as much a 1940s film person as I am.
You may be closer to it.
Yeah, I mean that's in all fairness to them, I'm the kind of person who would watch this and go, you know, they did that much better, and I've seen that shot
yes,
before.
Yes, you would.
You stole that from a Bogart movie, you know. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I don't know. For the stuff that really, really works, that kind of off-tone humor stuff just kind of stands out for me. It just like, kind of jumps out and it's like, eh, it doesn't fit. So.
So what else didn't, well, no, let's take a break because we can talk about what worked and what didn't work in our analysis portion of this episode.
Yeah, that seems like the better place for that.
Which we will do coming right out of this break. So everybody just stand by and we will pitch our other shows to you and be back with the second half of this episode of Level 117. Stand by.
Our transmitters are made from hand wavium. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hey everyone, Leslie Walker of Sci-Fi for Me here, just to give you a little reminder that our super smart crew members share their thoughts weekly on the DC shows Gotham, The Flash, and Arrow. Check out our podcast where we discuss these shows and story arcs, character development, plot twists, misses, and wins. Or if you'd rather check in for a quick recap read, we have you covered there as well. So join us for some DC-flavored morsels at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Jason Hunt here, inviting you to join me and Timothy Harvey as we engage in polite conversation about random topics throughout the genre. Now, you never know just what we'll talk about next, and you can bet whatever it is, we'll have an opinion. And we're usually right, and we're sometimes brilliant. H2O, just one of the many podcasts as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio, which you can find on iTunes, DoubleTwist, OneCast, or the RSS feed over at scififorme.com. Your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
And now, back to Level 117, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
Back on Level 117, Jason Hunt here along with Maya Aids.
Yodio.
Tim Harvey.
Hello.
And Dan Hanley.
Hello.
Are you happy now? I did it the way you normally expect
the
to
normals.
Do it.
No, I'm actually very disappointed in you.
Which we were totally not expecting.
You let me down, son. You let me down!
Happens all the time.
I know.
If I had a nickel for every time I hear those words, I'd have a nickel.
At least one.
Maybe a bag of chips. Some water if you
that's
got
a
it.
Lot that's a lot of nickels for a bag of chips anymore.
Yeah,
it sure is. Yeah.
Well,
yes,
actually
it is.
Nowadays it's a bag of air.
Some chips thrown in at
the very bottom.
So what do we think about this episode of Agent Carter? Because at the end of it they catch her, they handcuff her,
spoilers,
but only because Dottie catches up to her
and kisses her.
Kisses her. Oh, you're wearing my brand, Agent Carter says before she passes out.
Oddly, she's not like shocked about being kissed. She's shocked that she's wearing her brand.
Well, now the look on her face, though, she was taken by surprise with the kiss.
Yeah,
you see it in her face, and then suddenly, you know, she's like, "Oh," and you know, you see the reaction.
And what gets me on that is, for some reason, Dottie could have it on her lips and it doesn't affect her.
Well, Carter the same way.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing is, what if it's going to be absorbed by the skin, wouldn't it affect both?
That would be the question.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I think that's one of those things where the writer's kind of like,
that's a comic book thing. That's kind of a logic.
Yeah, that lipstick is made out of hand wavium.
Oh, okay.
And you do not question the hand wavium.
Well, no. I think
don't look behind the curtain.
And I think she was less surprised by the kiss because she's also British, because European, I mean, there's a whole different kissing etiquette.
Usually like that.
Well, but I mean, it's less. It's going to be less that than, you know. It's not like she came over and gave her like a giant romantic kiss and dipped her back and, you know, thing. It was like
that would have been a completely different show.
That would have been a completely different show
on a different network.
On a different network
at a different time.
Well, it all depends on just how happy one is to see another.
No, that's true. So, but so.
But I think and I made the prediction.
It was, Europe, well, guys.
But it was also effective because it was quick. I mean, she
yeah, caught her by surprise.
Well, caught her by surprise, and it was the kind of thing that you're not, you know, she's carrying her knockout thing, her knockout, you know, weapon in some place that you're not going to find it.
Right.
Yeah, until it's too late. Yeah. So, I mean, it's an effective tool.
And I made the prediction at the end that Sousa was going to come around and shoot Dottie, which didn't happen.
But he's close. But,
you know, Sousa and Jack came around the corner, but Dottie, of course, by that time has affected her. I just found her this way. Is she going to be okay?
I actually thought she was going to kill all of them.
Well, yeah, that was the other option.
I really did.
I am but an innocent bystander.
A ballerina from Iowa.
Really tall ballerina from Iowa. Yeah. But I
that nobody's seen dance.
And nobody's going to question the fact that she just passed out.
Well, see, there is that. You know, why did she pass out? And sure, of course, you know, you're in the middle of a manhunt. Here she is, passed on the floor. Grab her. We'll figure it out later. And I'm sure that we'll get that in the next episode because there's going to be quite a bit of interrogation, what all scenes. And it's going to be uncomfortable, I think.
Well, I think, unfortunately, this is the part where we only have two episodes left comes to the fore because...
I hope it's not wasted. Yeah, but I hope it's not a bottle show.
A bottle show.
Where everything happens in the office.
Well, it won't be. There's too many things that are going to pull outside, but...
What does that reference, a bottle show? What do you mean by that?
Like, a bottle show, well, this goes back to the early days of Star Trek.
That's right. Most of the third season of Star Trek was bottle shows.
To save on the budget, you don't build other spaceships, you don't build planets, you don't build other locations. The entire story takes place on the standing sets of the show. So, you know, ship in a bottle, basically, is when you refer to a bottle show, it's... The sets that have been built
already,
the permanent sets that have been built for the entire run of the show, as opposed to building something new for this one episode and then you tear it down and you do something else because it's an extra expense.
Right.
But a bottle show is supposed to be cheaper. And I worry that we're going to get some kind of version of that next week.
I think a lot of it will take place in the room just because it's an interrogation episode.
Right.
I hope it's not all interrogation, which means that's going to get really, really long.
Well, see, that's the thing is, if it is going to be that, then that episode is going to depend very greatly on the writing. And we know that up to this point, the writing has been hit and miss.
Well,
so that could either be a really, really, really fantastic episode, that's the best one ever,
or a really long.
Or it's
going to
be a thud, and that's the hour.
What concerns me is that since we've had this moment where we've got...
That's a technical term, by the way.
Or we'll call it a Kissed by Dottie episode.
Yeah.
There we go. my concern is that we have this... Everybody assumes the worst of everybody on very, very little evidence in this show.
Always.
As you do.
It's the immediate assumption, oh... It's been suggested that you might have committed a crime. You're guilty.
Well, I
confess
always,
your sins.
I always assume the worst of everyone, don't you?
It is treason.
Well,
why do you think I spend most of my time in the basement? Because I know people are terrible. I just don't want to have anything to do with them.
You've got to get off the internet more. That's what I'm saying. You got to get out among.
Does that explain the survival gear in the corner, though?
That's what my best friend keeps telling me. I got to get out of the house more.
Yeah.
You need a girlfriend.
No, I don't.
You need a girlfriend.
We are getting you out of the house more is a good baseline. No,
that
but
would
I
be
think
a start.
The problem is that you know we've got this. Every time we've had somebody get accused of something on this show, it has been immediately the leap to guilt.
Not only guilt, but suddenly they're public enemy number one.
Well, yeah. Howard Stark is immediately public enemy number one. You know, Peggy, despite the fact that the evidence, like Jason said, extremely circumstantial.
Yes.
Peggy is clearly guilty of treason. Despite the fact, you know, it's just everything. Every time you turn around, somebody is like, why you... You could potentially be guilty of a crime of some nature at some point in the future. You're under arrest. Exactly. And so I think that, I don't know, it just... I wonder how much this would all be bothering us if we didn't have those, like, three episodes of Treading Water.
Well, you mean, like, if there had been more story and more character development during those instead of just
okay,
blah?
Okay, let's not go crazy here, all right? I said, don't.
You just think we should skip those three episodes all together.
Well, I would have loved, no, if I like the idea of having three episodes of character development and plot.
And story.
And story. But
wait a minute, you can have character development or you can have plot. You can't have both.
Really?
On the contrary. Okay. No, despite what they tell them out in Hollywood, you can have both.
Yeah, well, you know.
Give it a plot and bury it deep.
There's a few shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Some shows they keep trying to bring back. It's like, no, it's dead.
It's gone.
Dead.
Leave it. It's Let dead, it go. Jim.
So this hypnotic effect that Dr. Ivchenko has... perfected with his one ring to rule them all.
The musical irritating noise.
It strikes me that would not be a terribly effective hypnotic technique.
The ring?
Yeah.
I don't understand why the ring is able to make them focus. Unless maybe there's some kind of...
The movement catches the eye, focuses on this, and okay, fine. Because, in hypnotism...
But it still doesn't, like you said, it doesn't look like it would be that effective the way he was doing it.
It's also a world that has superheroes. He could have some kind of ability. We don't know.
Possible?
See, I would almost want him to have an ability of some kind at this point because... I'm watching his hand, and I'm watching the fact that he mostly is hiding his ring.
That's
with the movements.
Yeah,
he's moving it, and so you got the sound effect that comes in, which is not an effective thing for focusing your attention. It's an irritating noise.
Yeah, it was.
And there's nothing in the story to indicate that the ring is actually making that noise.
Except
it's just
the music,
that we hear.
Yeah, every
it's
time
an incidental sound effect that just kind of highlights. Oh, he's hypnotizing.
That makes Maya go, where the heck is that sound coming from?
Yeah.
And his voice is nice and even, soothing. It's going to be okay.
Dave.
Yeah.
You're going to step out in front of the truck.
Which is...
I had a problem with all of that.
Well,
it wasn't...
The fact that it made no sense whatsoever?
Right, yeah.
Well,
that little detail?
Hypnosis... As far as I understand it, you don't do what you don't want to do.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have a willing subject to start with.
Right.
Well, the thing is, you've got to, if you want to get them to do something that they normally would not, you've got to convince them that they're seeing something else.
But see, that's always been a Hollywood thing anyway, to have
hypnosis.
Really, really, really easy hypnosis. And this whole, hypnotizing people who don't want to be hypnotized and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's been around Hollywood for decades.
Ever.
Yeah, if you want to have that kind of stuff, I mean, and that sort of stuff does exist in the real world, but you're talking like major
drugs.
Pharmaceuticals. I mean, you're...
Yeah. Well, and see, that's what I started to wonder.
That's mind control, and that is something that takes, it's ugly. I
mean, which
it's
they've terrible. Probably been working on in Russia, but we don't have any indication that that's part of this.
Well, but yeah, that's not part of where we're getting
here. I was wondering if when he's twisting his ring, if he's actually releasing some sort of...
Power.
Not a power, but some sort of I don't know.
Like a hypnotic drug type of thing?
Right.
A pheromone?
That he has
something?
Been trained to not
Possibly.
Respond to, but whoever is around him will be, affected by it.
I kind of hope so.
I would wonder if that was the case, if they would give some sort of an indication of that with a close-up, with an insert shot or something that would show the ring doing something.
So far, maybe
he pushes a button or something on there.
Well, it'd like to see something like that.
He sprays it in their face.
There we go.
Look at my ring.
But the problem is
Focus.
That because we haven't seen that, I think we're meant to think that
It's strictly just a hypnotic thing,
which
well,
is
that doesn't. I don't buy that.
Well, yeah, it's problematic because not only do we have someone who has just killed themselves because of it. Spoilers.
Yes.
We also have somebody who has given away the location. Someone who is a federal agent,
trained
yes,
trained agent who is
I'm
now,
saying that in air quotes
air
because
quotes,
yeah,
Well, we don't know what kind of train these guys go through because it's been pretty inconsistent.
We do know he was a middle child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we have this, you know, we have this.
That would be Agent Yelk.
Yes. And he basically just gives away the store.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, and here are the exits, and here's where we keep the secret files, and here's where the candy is.
Although with everything in lockdown, he did point out, with everything in lockdown, Dooley's the only one that could go in there. But still,
again, this is, you've got some guy what's wandered in from Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Well, if they could just explain how he pulls it off, you know, maybe some sort of powers or something, it would be forgivable.
Well, the ring is made of handuwavium.
It's the one ring to rule them all.
So that
he's Sauron.
The handwavium was in the lipstick. This is unobtainium.
They're both hand wavium, but the hand wavium in the lipstick is a liquid form.
Oh, okay.
And it's a powder polish on the ring.
Okay. Oh, okay. It's all about distribution.
That's right.
It's how it gets out to the target.
So you have the male version and the female version.
Yeah, exactly.
One for the men and one for the women.
It's hand wavium pheromones.
Yeah. And one's
by
airborne,
Calvin Klein.
One's airborne, the other's by contact?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. That makes sense then.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, Dooley, you know, considering that the actor spends a good chunk of his time playing the part with most of his eyes closed anyway.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard to tell that he was actually falling asleep or, you know, could he
be being hypnotized.
I'm really relaxed. Are you sure?
You always look like that.
You're always looking off down.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's just an affectation he did for the character or what, but it bugs me.
I don't know. Direction? Obviously, I've seen him before. I mean, he's done quite a bit. I just can't, for the life of me, and I'm not recalling any other performance where it stood out so much for me. Yeah. That's sticking in the mind, but I don't know. We felt like we moved ahead on this episode, but there are also these things that are tripping us up again. So yeah. We've got like,
but it was better tonight than it has been. Just not quite as good as last week, but not as bad as some of the early episodes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't feel like we're getting a kind of a parody of.
Just a little uneven.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just doing comedy in a show about world. This is coming back from World War II. The Soviet Union spy programs, the survivors of fighting the Nazis, slapstick comedy. Somehow, something doesn't fit.
Although, with Howard Stark, you know, if it's almost like Howard Stark is in a, you know, the British farce comedies,
sure,
on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the importance of being earnest and you're weird and, you know, things like that, mm-hmm. where you have mistaken identities Howard Stark feels like he would belong in that kind of a story.
You mean all of the bedroom doors,
mistaken identity,
closing?
Yeah, you know, cutting across the hall and doing this and that and the other, and characters running back and forth, and everybody's confused, and nobody knows what's going on except the one guy who does know what's going on, and he can't what be caught, and, you know, that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does very much feel like that in the elements that surround Howard Stark, or that are connected to Howard Stark in some way. And I worry that when Stark actually comes back in probably the last episode,
mm-hmm.
that we're not going to be able to pull back from that. It's still going to be the Howard Stark comedy hour.
The farce kind of thing.
In those moments where he's on the scene, as opposed to the rest of the story, which is spy novel, crime thriller.
Really? Can they? I don't see how you're going to be able to tie this up if he is the comedic element.
Well, that's what my concern is, that somehow Stark is going to be too much of a comedic element at the end, and they won't be able to wrap it up properly. I mean, they'll wrap it up
because they have to.
They have to.
I don't think he can. They can bring him back and have him do comedy at all. I mean, you could there's a certain amount of comedy.
Well, here's the question: do you think they'll bring him back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think,
in fact, he may have to come back to help get Peggy out of trouble.
Because basically, the end of this run is the expectation is the end of this run is going to see the birth of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's speculation.
That is speculation, but we don't know we're getting a second season.
No. Yeah, I was going to say, see, so, if they do another eight episodes again,
the end of the one shot,
set it up again.
The end of the one shot is the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Because Howard calls Peggy and says, we're putting together this new thing, I want you to run it. That's the end of the one shot.
Right.
Which could take place any time after what we're seeing in this season.
Sure, but...
because it's a different cast, different location.
Yeah.
Everything's different than what we're seeing in the show. So it doesn't necessarily follow that at the end of episode 8, Howard Stark is going to call Peggy and say, we're starting this new thing, I want you to run it.
Unless they've reshot the one shot at the end of the episode.
Could have.
Except we haven't had, in this series, we have not had the red alert phone calls in the office like we had in the one shot.
Well, but all we have to do is reach to the point where all of our characters are transferred away, or move on or whatever, and it's the new office and something happens to blow up the old office.
Wait. Which, did you not see the promos for next
week? I did see the promos for next week. So something blows up the office, and they have to redo everything, and it's got the neat stuff, and the last few minutes of the last episode is the one
beginning,
shot.
The beginnings of the one shot?
Yeah.
That would involve, what's his name coming back in?
Actually, you know what? That's the end of your episode. It's just the one shot. You don't have to redo the one shot. You just sit there and go.
Bradley Whitford.
You just drop it in.
It could. Maybe. Maybe. But that would assume there's not going to be another season.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if there is going to be. I mean, honestly, you know, I think we run into the same thing here
Do you think we'll find out before the end of the run if we're going to get another run? Or do you think they'll wait?
They'll probably wait.
Because we've got two episodes left.
You know, the fact that we haven't really heard anything at this point,
they're probably not going to decide one way or the other.
Well, I think it's probably cancel proof.
Really?
Honestly, yeah, I kind of do. I think it's like you just
so, feel, so this is
especially
isn't...
now that Sony has come to Marvel with hat in hand. And
yeah,
said,
I think it's
help
kind of,
us.
I think it's kind of cancel proof.
I don't think Agent Carter is cancel proof. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is cancel proof.
I don't know. I think Tim's right. I think Agent Carter is cancel proof because it's a woman in the lead.
I thought this was just going to be an 8-episode thing, that it was just, this was it. No, this, well, they are likely to get another.
It could be, but there's a possibility they could do another one because next season, you're still going to have
another break.
You're going to have the mid-season break.
Right,
you got to fill it with something. Might as well do another 8 episodes.
This has been a lot. Well, no, last year they
It's never been billed as like the beginnings of the new Agent Carter series.
No, it was billed as, this is it.
Right, so... But I think even if the numbers aren't fantastic, I think they're because not only is it, it's a number of things. It's connected to the Marvel Universe. It's got a female lead.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that Captain Marvel has just been pushed back because of Spider-Man, there's even more impetus on Marvel to have a female lead something going on right now because she's it until Captain Marvel comes in because, you know, everything's been pushed back 6-8 months from the original release date. So now because
they're taking on Spider-Man.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes part of the mix into the
Does that
Marvel
seem like a good idea to push everything else back?
Well, it's production logistics. I mean, if Kevin Feige is going to be producing all of these, then he can only concentrate on so many projects at once. And if they've got to integrate Spider-Man into the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole, in addition to figuring out which part of the MCU crosses over into the Sony productions now, because there is that possibility too, then you have to figure out on all of the stuff. You know, everything in the plan has got to be adjusted. And so now it becomes, although, and this could be something, this is something that Tim and I can talk about on H2O, the idea of just how much the Spider-Man deal impacts the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in terms of story, in terms of the schedules, because really Sony has had their own movies that they've put out at the same time Marvel's been putting out their movies.
Right.
So how much of that is going to be impacted by all of this? But I think Tim's right. I think that Agent Carter is cancel proof to the point where we get another 8-episode run in the mid-season break next year. If they decide to do it, then they'll just do it.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that was the plan. I didn't know that there was any plans to make another.
Oh, we don't know that there is either.
We're making the assumption that if they decide to do it, it's not going to be based on ratings.
Right. It's not going to be based on any of the numbers. It's just if we want to do it, we will.
Well, and honestly, even if they don't do it here, they could go ahead and try and do it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could do that.
So I think that. Yeah, definitely. You know, as we've talked about before, and as Dan just mentioned, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is cancel-proof at this point.
Yeah.
And this season has made it justifiably cancel-proof.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually gotten much better.
Yes.
Especially considering not even finishing Phase 2, they've already begun Phase 3.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, Spider-Man's impact on Inhumans, now we have to figure out how much of an impact that's going to have on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is rolling out the Inhumans.
Right, but I think they're not going to be rolling it out.
We're 8 months now. That's been pushed back.
I don't think we're getting it rolled out at quite the same pace as we thought they were going to do it. I think it's going to be a longer rollout. I mean, what they're bringing back, Sif.
Yeah.
With memory problems.
Which I don't know. Does that? Am I the only one who's sitting there going, thinking that episode does not sound like? It sounds like a filler episode.
It sounds like it, but we don't know until we see it.
I know, maybe. But it sounds like a filler episode.
What it was is, hey, this episode with Jamie Alexander was really popular. We need to do it again because we haven't had anybody from the movies in a while.
I have no complaints about having Jamie Alexander on the show.
Oh, I don't either. Hopefully the story justifies her being there.
Yeah, and that's
the thing.
That's kind of the thing that I'm reading the synopsis and going,
yeah.
Oh, it's a I lost my memory episode. Okay.
Okay. I don't know. We'll have to see.
That's great. Okay. So
we'll see.
So, what, B-minus maybe on this episode?
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
There's a lot. There's still a lot to like about this show.
I think I'd give him a B.
Yeah?
Yeah, straight up B. No minus.
I'd be along the same line, straight up B.
I'm going to stick with the minus just because the weird...
The humor stuff?
The weird humor stuff. And the fact that, again, everybody in this show is, like, so convinced in the guilt of everyone else around them that it's like, did you drop that pencil? You're a communist! You know, it's like, whoa! Hang on!
That escalated quickly.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, hang on, what happened here? It's like, this coffee is cold.
How dare you? It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but that part, that complaint has been relevant the whole run. So that
has not absolved this episode of it being guilty of it too.
Although, that escalated quickly.
I will allow that in this episode we have more circumstantial evidence that actually allows for them to jump to that conclusion.
Oh, she's kind of guilty of lying to them. I mean, she actually has some guilt involved. The problem is that they don't have enough information to basically believe her to be guilty of the things they think she's guilty of.
Right,
but he did say, if you run, we'll know you're a traitor. She says, sorry, bye.
Yeah, but that has always been a really dubious argument.
Yeah,
it is.
So it's like, come in and we'll talk about it. No, I've seen how you do interrogations. I don't think that's going to be a plan. If you run, that means you're guilty. No, it just means I don't particularly feel like being caught and thrown into a cell
with a stick.
Your logic is
like
a little
carrot.
Is
instead,
a little curious.
I'm not going to get the carrot. I'm going to get the stick.
Exactly. And we got the thing, you know. Don't go easy on her just because she's a girl.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
Well, and it's because they're making that leap, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out next week because it looks like Sousa's handling most of the interrogation. Just from what we've seen in the promo.
Well, here's the question: is that we've established that he is a kind-hearted person. We've
not
also
not anymore.
Well, but we've also established that he's had time and time again recently shown that the kind-hearted approach doesn't get results. So are we about to see...
Sousa get mean?
Yeah.
I think so.
And do we, and,
a sense of betrayal that he
and
feels?
And do we want to... And, and what is that... I mean, we got two episodes left. How far can you go with that and have it play?
Well, you know, next, you know, we have
and
scenes
and not
in
make that the story instead of anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, but we've got shots in the promo that we see Dottie doing some things, and we have an explosion taking place near the office. So, I'm going to make a prediction that the interrogation of Peggy Carter doesn't last longer than maybe the first third of the episode.
I hope not.
And she talks.
A long time.
It's either Jack or Sousa. She convinces one of them to go with her, and let's find Dottie. And then the final episode of the season is going to be the showdown between Peggy and Dottie. And everybody's back, and Howard's back, and Jarvis.
And the Russians, and the Russians versus Stark, and
the Russians
and
are coming. The Russians are coming.
The Russians versus Stark and Jarvis, and
yeah, and it's going to be SSR. Spectre and Dr. No, and
a big
Stavros Broflelt, and
a big production number with the Rockettes joining in, and
in a white
the Jets and the Sharks, and
yeah.
Oh, please, please,
there you go.
I want that.
It's like, wait a minute, this show got very, very different in the final episode. It's the musical episode. Everybody sings.
Well, and considering the fact that that Dominic Cooper played Ian Fleming, you can go there and do the whole Bond thing. But I think that's what it's going to be. We're going to have interrogation. We're going to have maybe the blowing up the office is what gets
the remodel.
Yeah, well, that's what gets them to sit there and go, oh, maybe she's telling the truth and there's somebody else out there we need to find. Let's go find her. And then the rest of the episode is tracking down Dottie. The last episode is the showdown with Dottie.
And what about Dr. Schnick?
Well, that'll be part of that last episode.
And you, agents, stay here and clean up the mess and try not to get hypnotized.
I think that's going to be the last episode. Ivchenko will die.
Yeah, and it's going to be Jarvis who kills him. That's my prediction. It'll be
really?
Jarvis. I think it'll be Jarvis who kills him. I'm going to throw that out there. I've been thinking about who's potentially going to do it.
I think the chief.
Well,
because he's going to feel a real sense of betrayal.
The chief certainly, because Jarvis, we've had reference to Jarvis being
he's
in the military.
Yeah,
and we haven't really seen Jarvis be violent.
Right,
and I think this is going to be one of the things where either Stark is going to be threatened or Peggy's going to be threatened, and Jarvis is going to be the one who steps in and just goes,
Yeah.
And we're going to be reminded that Jarvis was a soldier.
Yeah.
Because,
Because he was.
And that works, he's the one soldier who hasn't necessarily been acting like a soldier the entire show.
So. Yeah, and that works, too. All right, so those are the predictions for the next two episodes. We'll see if we're right.
Our theories.
Yep.
We have them.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much digression tonight. I think we've kind of stayed on course.
Fairly well for us. Yes,
I think
fairly
so.
Well.
I think especially for us.
Yes,
yeah. Now, just very, very, very briefly, we've touched on the whole Spider-Man thing.
So let's have a discretion now.
Well, it's not really.
Briefly? How
it
is this going to be briefly?
It is briefly. Do you think this is just going to be a real quick yes or no? You think that Spider-Man? We know he's going to show up in a Marvel movie.
Oh, wait.
Do you think he's going to show up in the Netflix shows?
I think he'll
be referred to.
Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Defenders.
I don't think so because Sony's
Daredevil.
Still got the rights and they're still have to.
I think he'll be referred to. You'll get
references.
There'll
be a hint.
Yeah, there will be something like,
Or maybe a cameo.
Yeah, a cameo, or we'll see him on TV, or someone will refer to,
some of the news reports.
Would they already have
curse that Jonah Jameson and his vendetta against Spider-Man,
Wouldn't it be fun if they actually managed to bring back J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson?
Well, he has mentioned that he's willing to come back.
And fans would love it.
Oh, yeah.
He's perfect at, in that role.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. have these episodes already been shot for the rest of the season? Because
Daredevil's
in the can. Jessica Jones is.
They haven't started shooting.
Okay. We just know that David Tennant's going to be one of the bad guys.
Yeah. So you've got Jessica Jones, you've got Luke Cage, you've got Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. All three of those have yet to go into production. So now that we have Spider-Man,
it may be a part of those, but not
Spider-Man
in the ones
lives
that
in New York.
Been shot, of course.
Well, and Kingpin. Well, the thing with the Kingpin is as much a Spider-Man villain as he's a Daredevil villain. I mean, he's primarily a Daredevil villain first, but I mean, he's mm-hmm. Kingpin and Spider-Man have
crossed paths
quite a few
several times.
He's been a lot of people's villain.
So I think that really you can be the potential here for crossover.
It's exciting.
Is exciting.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It gets your spider sense tingling, doesn't it?
Which might actually be the best argument for them casting a new actor in the part, because of a new actor that would probably have the kind of contract that Garfield doesn't have.
Yeah.
Which would basically be that we're going to say you...
We're
going to
put you in everything.
We're going to have you in these movies, but basically we're also going to have you on these TV shows and these little bits, so you're committed to the next, X number of years.
All if the things.
Your life.
If they can clear all that with Sony, because Sony still has some control on
it. You know, I think that's just face-saving at this point. I think Sony went to Marvel and begged them and said, please fix this. And Marvel went, okay.
Right now, it's a win-win for both parties. But it's especially it's especially considering the position Sony is currently in.
That's especially true. Amy Pascal. Yeah.
I think it's a big plus for them right now.
Yeah.
And financially,
really,
it's going to prove beneficial to them as well.
Well, and the public perception though is Marvel wins. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever benefit Sony gets out of this, everybody that's talking about this they're approaching it from the standpoint of Spider-Man has come home. Mm-hmm. Marvel wins. No matter what the deal is. Creative control being whatever, Sony's doing the distribution and the marketing, okay, well, that means that they're footing the bill for that part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The creative control is going to be with Kevin Feige as a co-producer, and sure, Amy Pascal is going to be there as a co-producer, and okay, fine, she represents the interests of Sony or whatever, but this is now a Marvel thing, and the fans are sitting there thinking, Marvel won. And whatever you can say about Sony having creative control, that's just going to be, lipstick on a pig. It's not going to be anything that really means anything.
Spider pig?
So spider pig. Spider pig does whatever a spider pig can.
That's going to be our theme.
So this is a lesson, boys and girls. This is whenever you have your password as password, you lose control of Spider-Man.
That's right. And with that, we are going to head out. Don't forget,
I'm gonna change my password. Hang on a second.
Yeah, okay, you do that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, that's what's my luggage.
As always, you are welcome to leave a comment or send us an email. Let us know what you think. level1187@sci-fi-for-me.com. If you are listening to this because somebody shared a link with you, then thank them, and then go subscribe yourself so you don't miss the next one. You can find us on iTunes, Double Twist, OneCast, Stitcher. Almost did it again. That's just one of these.
Once upon a cast.
I should have a card.
You should have a card.
You didn't have a
you
card.
You used to. What'd you do with it?
It's over here somewhere.
Okay. Some sort of a teleprompter.
Yeah. So you can subscribe to that. We've got an RSS feed over on our main site, which is sci-fi-for-me.com. Don't forget, if you are a fan of DC Comics, we have the Rogues Gallery podcast. We've got Sci-Fi for Chicks podcast. We have H2O podcast. Tim and I are going to discuss a little bit more of the implications of this whole Spider-Man thing this week. And Week in Review. Yes, our program is back. It's a weekly wrap-up of the week's headlines. That is over on our YouTube channel. And, of course, we are on the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, Tumblr. That's enough.
I think so.
That's enough.
A couple of three places to find us.
We keep ourselves busy.
All right. And next week, more discussion about Agent Carter. And once that goes through, we'll be back on our regular routine of chopping to bits Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's going to do it for us.
Sky! I love you, Sky.
I believe it's Daisy now.
It could be. All right, that's going to do it for us. Jason Hunt here, Tim Harvey, Maya Aides, Dan Hanley.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us. And we will be back next week.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.